Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined by legendary USA men's soccer goalie, Tony Miola, who joins us now. Hey, Tony, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
What's up, Tony?
Yeah. What's up, guys? How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, Tony. You know, and a lot to get into, you know, certainly with the men's side and the women's side. But let's start with the ladies. You know, how impressed have you been? I mean, Taz and I talked about at the time, you know, when they won 13-0 earlier on in the tournament, Tony, what was your take on their celebration, their behavior after goals?
Well, first off, it's been a great tournament. There's no doubt. Favorites going into the tournament, the U.S. with France. Those guys will meet up here in a couple days' time in the quarterfinals. And I think that they were trying to make a statement with the game. And, you know, France, obviously, one of the teams everybody's looking at. They went into that, you know, saying, okay, we gotta lay a marker down here. Me, personally, I went on our radio show and I said, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of go score as many goals as you need to score because it's a knockout. An aggregate goal at the end of the day. Goal differential matters in the tournament. Go score 50 if you can. I wasn't a huge fan of the celebrations, if I'm being completely honest, but it seems that we've gotten past that. Everyone's kind of learned from that, and now it gets a little bit more tougher. I'm not sure we'll have that many, you know, as many opportunities to celebrate, but. Look, a great team, a team that's done U.S. soccer proud. It's done the sporting community in our country and really around the world a lot of good. So we're rooting for them, and so far it's been a great World Cup.
Yeah, it has been. Totally agree, Tone. So let me ask you, you mentioned France, you know, so when the ladies duel up against France this Friday, you know, how do you think France is going to handle having that home field? I mean, the pressure might go to them in this deal here. I mean, both teams are excellent. What do you think, or even a prediction if you got one?
Yeah, I think the pressure is on France right now because of the home field, and there's been so much made about, you know, it's really, really odd right now that the two best teams in the world are matching up in the quarterfinals, first of all, right? So
yeah.
FIFA, I think, missed the mark here because what a great final it would be if they both get there. I think that pressure is no doubt on France. This is about as even a matchup as you're going to find. A French team is very, very good. I think the one thing that we've learned over the last two games, maybe that doesn't sit well with the U.S., and they've dealt with it okay, is being really, really physical with them. Keep in mind, it's the best team in the world, so they go into most games having the ball all the time, you know, just dominating possession, being on the front foot, as we call it all the time, and putting teams under pressure. And when you have your opportunity to step on the throat, they've been able to do that. It's not going to be like that. They need to be sharp. Yesterday, I don't know if I'd call it a scare as much as I would call it a wake-up call, that's what they're going to see moving forward in this tournament.
You know, Tony, and the women, you know, came into this tournament a little chip on their shoulder. We all know, obviously, it's been well-publicized and well-documented, you know, the equal pay, you know, for United States soccer between the men and the women. Do you think the women have every right to be upset and bothered? You know, they're clearly looking to make a statement by the fact that, you know, they're not paid equally to what the men are paid in representing United States soccer?
Well, with regards to pay, you know, sit forever, pay them all the same, right? Bonuses should be the same. There's a disparity there. There are also some things sort of that don't happen. You know, the women get paid by U.S. Soccer their salaries. And I think that's why there's this sort of gray area in this whole conversation. if you put everything on equal ground, I still think that both of them should have the same union. They should go negotiate the same contract. So there's been a disparity in the agreements that each group has been able to negotiate with U.S. Soccer. It is what it is right now. But, yeah, I mean, at face value, you pay them equally. But I would just caution that there are some other elements to the deal. It's not just as straightforward as it just pay them the same amount of money, because they do pull salaries, insurance, all of that stuff from U.S. Soccer, which none of the men do.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Listen to Taz and Moose right now on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest is Tony Rioli, former United States men's national soccer team goalkeeper. Tony, let me ask you a question. I always wondered, man, how difficult is it? Like, it's because it looks hard, you know, when you're facing a penalty kick. I mean, how do you handle that? There's got to be like in your success, your approach to stopping that, if you could. I mean, you're just trying to see the ball off the person's foot as soon as possible to see which way you could put shift your weight. Take us behind the scenes on the penalty kick for the keeper.
Yeah, obviously there's a timing to it. There's a rhythm to it. Almost like I would equate it to a baseball hitter, you know, reading the speed of a pitch.
Right.
You've got to get there at the right time. There's been so much controversy with VAR in the game and goalkeepers moving. The rule of the goalkeeper being on the line has always been that. It's just been a rule that's never really been enforced. My take, like, I'm a goalkeeper, right? My simple take is it's 12 yards away. If you can't score from 12 yards away, that's your problem.
You know? Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. I don't care. And quite honestly, if you're a good penalty kick taker, if the goalkeeper moves that early, you shift your body and go the other way. I mean, now there's a little bit, there's more technology. You have more video on players. We didn't have that luxury.
Right.
It was more of an instinct, you know, back in the day. And then obviously, if you went the right way, you had to still make a play. But I'm old school. I go back to, it's 12 yards away. It's your responsibility to put it in there. But boy, has it been a talking point here for the last 10 days or so?
Yeah,
there's no question about it. When you look at this United States women's team as they get set for that matchup against France, Tony, talk a little bit about two legendary women. Number one, Carly Lloyd. Number two, Megan Rapinoe, who had both goals yesterday in their victory over Spain.
Well, Carly, I think her role, obviously a New Jersey girl, so I'm really proud of her. Her role has been carved out in this team. She's a substitute, and what a substitute to have. Somebody that has been able to score big goal after big goal, whether it's Olympics, whether it's the last World Cup and her exploits in the finals. So kind of Jill Ellis' secret weapon. And I think she's embraced that role as an older player. I'm sure as a competitor, right, you want to be on the field right from the start, and you don't care what the coach says, but you just got to respect that the team is winning. And then Megan Rapinoe, she's become the captain. She's become the spokesperson for a lot of other, you know, sort of issues in and around the team, women's sports in general. Two goals yesterday, not on her best day, and even on a day where she wasn't at her sharpest, she was willing to step up in sort of the biggest moment and take two penalty kicks. So that shows an awful lot of character.
No, it certainly does. And we obviously don't have to wax poetic about the exploits of Alex Morgan. I mean, she's a brilliant forward for this team as well.
Yeah, and seems to be taking a beating in this tournament. I saw her post game quotes. It was a physical game. I think that people will continue to be physical with them. She said, you know, I don't need a chiropractor. I was cracked all game. You know, she made some kind of joke about that. And, they need her in the end. I still think if they're going to win this thing, Alex Morgan has to find the back of the net. She's got to be the striker that buries balls. She hasn't been able to do that. Since the, you know, obviously five goals in the first game, that means an awful lot, but she's such a talented player and is coming off what's been sort of her best spell in the game for her over the last 2 years. So let's see if she can get rolling here.
Hey, Tony, so right now, like, just give us the state of the men's game is right now for the USA.
Well, I would think, for lack of any other better term, sports term, right? They're in transition right now. Mm. They're obviously the Gold Cup is important to them. I said the Gold Cup used to be a tournament that kind of you were okay sending a second team, you're okay sending a bunch of young players. Our first team happens to be a lot of young players on it right now. That's just where we are in the cycle. Greg Berhalter comes in here, after we didn't qualify for the World Cup, all of these tournaments become important to me because I think we go back to square one. And I go back to 1989, as many of your listeners probably weren't even born then, when we were trying to qualify for a World Cup. And, I said, there's no international tournament that we can take for granted anymore because we didn't qualify. And it's something that I never thought we'd say, but it's a reality for us. And now we got to build from here, and we've got to continue to build from here. And being on an international stage for a lot of these guys is the first time. I remember what it was like when you go through it. It's a little bit of sort of culture shock, but they do have some veterans in the group that have sort of carried them through. The Michael Bradleys of the world, the Josie Altidores of the world, and you know, dare I say Christian Pulisic is a veteran at 20 years old, or 21 years old, going to Chelsea for $50 million. But that's the role that now is his, to be a leader in the group. And the other night, I mean, he talked about having this chip on his shoulder. And for the first time, I think we saw the side of Christian Pulisic. I shouldn't say for the first time. I should say for the first time in a while, we saw the side of Christian Pulisic that I think we want to see sort of on a game-to-game basis. And hopefully that's a sign of something to come.
Tony, do you think, have you seen, I mean, you know the game better than anybody, have you seen the growth from this program that you wanted to see after the program missed out on the last World Cup?
That's a tough one. That's a great question. I would think if you're giving me a yes or a no only, no. We lost a year without having a coach. In some massive, massive international games, France, Portugal's of the world, you know, man, we were playing everybody at that time. And, Dave Sarakin, who was the interim coach, came in, did a good job, got some young players time. But, no, we haven't. At the youth level, we've seen it. There's no doubt about it. The under-20 level, we'll see what our under-17s again at the World Cup coming up here in a couple months. Now, how do they integrate into, we talk about at the national team level, these 10-year players. That's kind of how you term them. You look at these young guys here, these are 10-year national team player, and we've got a couple of those coming up, but we really got to integrate them in the team, and it comes at a poor time because normally, you guys know in sports, you got a veteran team and you add one or two pieces and maybe that are a little bit younger. It's really difficult when you add in a whole slew of young players into a group. It seems like everybody's learning, right? You guys, when's the last time a young team in any sport won anything, right? There's always veteran leadership on the team. It's in that transition phase again. And, hopefully the other night was a sign of, hey, we're starting to get what Greg Berhalter wants to do.
Hey, Tony, I got to ask you a side note, right, from all the stuff going on with the games right now about yourself. I got to tell you, a lot of people I don't think realize, obviously, you're a great soccer player in high school and in college. You went to UVA, a great school. But you were on a dual scholarship, man. Apparently, you're a really good baseball player, too, correct?
I guess a dying breed.
How did you manage that, dude, to play both sports at a D1 level at an academic school like UVA?
Yeah, it was tough. And I had a conversation with a guy not too long ago and said, he was talking about how kids have to commit to a sport now at 12 and 13 years old. And my kids, I got a Division I baseball player, Division II soccer player, and one that's coming up that'll be a D1 baseball player. And I told them through high school, play everything. Play basketball.
I did the same with
soccer.
My kid. You're right. That's exactly it. I agree with you.
There's a burnout factor. They'll figure out where they're at when they're 17 and 18 years old and when they're making decisions in college. And he said, we don't have any two-sport athletes anymore. I said, well, we don't have them anymore because of guys like you, because guys that are telling you that at 12 and 13 years old, you got to make a decision because it's a 12-month. Everyone has their theory on it. I just I benefited so much from playing basketball. I loved playing baseball. I was decent at it, and quite honestly, back then,
you were able to do it. Everything wasn't 12 months a year.
Right, right.
There were quote unquote seasons, right, when we grew up. And,
that's right.
And that's what you did.
And today it's tougher, I feel, you know, it is for kids because these events, like showcase events for whatever sport or big tournaments for recruiting events, they're happening while other sports are happening. So, you know, it's tough to play for a team on your high school team. Let's say you're a football player and then there's a recruiting event if you're a baseball player in the fall or lacrosse. You know, now, you know what I mean? That's where it makes it tough for the kids.
It makes it tough for the kids. It makes it tough for
the parents. Right.
You know, the kids now are in a position where you're almost forced in a lot of ways. My youngest is going into his junior year, you know, and he's a baseball player, but loved playing soccer in high school, loved playing basketball in high school. We're moving to Florida, actually, coming up here for the next school year as a family, and he's made the decision that he just wants to concentrate on baseball because of the position that he's in. But that's a decision I think that, you know, through high school, do you really have to make? I hate in soccer the academy kids can't play high school because I think they miss such a social element. You know, my son had kids in his high school, my oldest, that played academy soccer that weren't allowed to play high school soccer because you're in an academy. I never saw them at a basketball game. I never saw them at a football game on a Friday night because they're traveling all the time. You go through 4 years of high school, you feel like you got no friends to hang out with, and you miss that whole sort of experience that I think is really not totally beneficial to all these kids.
Yeah, good point. I mean, Tony, you're working with Allstate here. Tell us a little bit about it and day for play.
Yeah, I've been traveling around. I've been working with Allstate for 6 years, in and around the men's national team in Major League Soccer. And here we're at the Gold Cup, you know, around national team events. And as you mentioned, Day for Play is an opportunity for us to set another initiative in cities. I've been in St. Paul already. I've been in Cleveland, in Kansas City today. We're headed to Nashville, Philly, all the way to Chicago through the finals. Essentially today to get out and celebrate the game. Get out of your office, you know, get on your feet, kick a ball around. We go into different parts of different cities, you know, historic parks. We're down to Power and Light District today.
That's great.
And it's great. Get to meet some fans. They come out. We've got the actual Gold Cup that they'll present at the finals has been traveling around with us, so that's pretty cool. We're also doing a soccer ball exchange in the communities where essentially a kid brings, like, used to bring your old shoes in and trade them in programs. We're trading in soccer balls, giving tickets away. So there's a lot of stuff that goes around, but basically trying to start an initiative around the different cities that every day of each year, this day is your day to play soccer. So it's been pretty fun. Great to meet the fans, as you guys know, and again, we'll go all the way through the finals in Chicago.
Well, that's great, and I'll tell you this, Tony. Growing up and watching you was a huge fan, right? And the other thing I was a fan of, nobody sported a mullet like Tony Meola. That is a legendary mullet, Tony. And when you cut the mullet, it was almost like Thor cut his hair. I didn't recognize you right away after you cut the mullet.
You still got the mullet, Tony? You still got it?
That was kind of the point. You didn't recognize it. Listen, Google's been the worst thing that's happened to me with that mullet. But it was epic, no doubt.
Women going to win out Friday? You think they beat France, Tony?
Yeah, I think they do, and I think it's we're gonna go to extra time with that one. They'll play a little bit of extra soccer in that one to get it done. But yeah, I think if they both play their best, I think the U.S. is a better team.
Hop online, check it out. Day for Play Allstate. Tony Meola, legendary United States men's soccer goalkeeper. Hey, Tony, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.